Welcome back to Nachyomi. We're going to be moving through the 19th perek, the 19th chapter of Sefer Yehoshua today as we move one perek at a time through Nach. We are going to start, this perek actually covers a lot of detail in terms of the inheritance of the seven tribes. Remember, what we've seen is the inheritance of the tribes on the east bank of the Jordan, that's Reuven and Gad and Chatzishev Menashe. We've seen the inheritance of Yehuda and Yosef, including Ephraim and Menashe on the west bank of the Jordan, and then the remaining tribes are now inheriting their middle swath of land now, and the remaining territory, which is semi-conquered territory. We saw Binyamin getting his section, and now in the remaining, in our chapter, we deal with those last six tribes. So it starts off with Shimon, who gets partially his own chelek, and partially within Yehuda. Zevulun gets his chelek, Yisachar, Asher, Naphtali, and finally Dan. And that is the description of all the land they get. And there's a specific description of the cities and borders of those territories. I'll try to send out a map of just to get a sense of where we're looking at. We're mainly looking at northern Israel over here. And unlike the borders of Israel today, this goes actually into the country Lebanon today. So, you know, the Israel of the times of Sefer Yehoshua was sort of shifted further north than we have it. It didn't not go down to Eilat yet. It was in the southern reaches of the Beersheba region, but it went up further. It went up to well into Lebanon, to where we have now, which is where the territory of Asher was. Now, as we move through this perek, although there are a lot of nitty-gritty geography details, there's a couple points just to ponder. Point number one to ponder is that when describing the Nachala of Dan, there's an interesting sort of twist which is described, and that is that it says Vayetzegvu b'nei Dan mehem Vayalu b'nei Dan v'lachamu im leshem v'yilkadu asom v'yaku asom l'ficherev. That Dan went out and made an extra conquest of a city called Leshem, and then he went and settled there, and he called it Leshem Dan. Interesting. Now, if we look, as we're going to be doing, in probably in a month's time, we'll get towards the end of Sefer Shoftim. That's the rate we're going. We'll see that actually the story's expanded upon a bit there. There, the city is called Laish, but the Mefarshim say Laish and Leshem is the same city. And if you look actually in the map, this city that Dan went out and conquered was not in their territory. In fact, the extra details are to be found in Sefer Shoftim, Perek Yud Ches, and it goes as follows. Dan could not fit fully into their territory. Now, part of the reason they couldn't fit into their territory because there were a lot of them, but also they weren't able to conquer the territory around them, meaning the Amori who were in their territory were too strong for them. So what did Dan do? Instead, as the Malbim and the Radak explain it based on the Psukim and Shoftim, instead of conquering their local seven-nation Canaanites who are surrounding them, what did they do? They went up to this place, Laish, which is far north. It's deep in Lebanon. It's further than the territory of Asher, far, far north, and conquered it, meaning they were searching out an easy way to make their conquest. Now, that's a little telling about what's going on over here. Rather than doing the work that was necessary right in front of them, and the mitzvah of the conquest of the seven nations, they found a vulnerable nation. We're going to see that they specifically picked Leshem and Laish, because the Laish's allegiances were to another country up north, and they felt that the other country wouldn't come to their aid. Meaning to say, Don was picking a vulnerable target as opposed to doing the mitzvah of the conquest of the land of Israel. And this really sets the tone for something going wrong over here. They're not prepared what to do, what they're supposed to, but they're trying to find somewhere else. Point number one to ponder. Point number two to ponder is there's something extremely telling about leadership at the end of the perek. And it goes like this in the 49th pasuk. It says, Vayitnu b'nei Yisrael nachala liyoshua ben nun besoicham. They gave Yehoshua a chelek. That means Yehoshua himself finally got his own land. And it was in a place called Timnas Serach, or as it pronounced in Sefer Shoftim, Timnas Cheres. Now, this is interesting. First thing is you notice that the leader gets lost. After everything is said and done, that's when the leader gets his territory. So no one can ever say, oh, Yehoshua, you're getting your beautiful French Riviera. No, Yehoshua was the one who got at the very end of this whole business. Number two, the Mefarshim, the Radak, as an example, suggest that the reason why it was called Timnas Cheres, in the way it's described in Sefer Shoftim, was at the beginning it was very dry and infertile land. meaning he'd not take for himself the best portion of land. This is a person who's clearly his ideal system was the conquest and division of the land, his leadership, not himself. Thinking to more contemporary times, I was discussing this with Dr. Shalev the other evening. And he said, you know, you can look at all politicians, you know, and certainly in Israel and abroad, and you sort of see, you know, one of the most telling things to know about, you know, an honest leadership was, well, what did they end up with? Meaning, how did they pass away? Did they pass away with a two-bedroom apartment in Tel Aviv, and that was it? Or did they have, you know, Swiss funds and, you know, apartments, international, you know, apartments all and condos all around the world? You know, they say about the first president of Israel, a man by the name of Yitzhak Ben Tzvi, that there was a point in time where he earned less in his salary than the driver of his car. And when confronted about this, his response is, and to quote, in my opinion, as long as we are required to fulfill two important commandments, bringing in our brethren and absorbing them here, and increasing our security and independence, given the external threats we face, we dare not be dragged into raising our standard of living. In fact, interestingly enough, he was outvoted by the government to raise his salary against his own will. But here we're talking about, you know, the Havdil, and coming back to Yehoshua, we're talking about a person whose single focus was the division of the land of Israel. At the end of the day, they said, Bnei Israel said to him, Yehoshua, you need a portion, and they gave him his own land. But that wasn't the focus, that wasn't why he was doing it. A hallmark of true leadership. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.